Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare this generation? It's like children who sit in marketplaces and call to each other, 'We played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a dirge for you, but you didn't mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He is possessed by a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by her works." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We mark an Advent, as we've spoken about, a triple dynamism. Christ comes, we go out to meet him, as the Alleluia verse said, and then in that encounter are so transformed by him that we begin to follow him the rest of the way. The Church has us ponder this Gospel from St. Matthew today to see where our resistance is, to see whether we're really living the spirit of Advent, whether we're heeding the call of John the Baptist and the call of Christ, whether our life has truly been changed, or whether we're trying to set the terms of Advent. Jesus compares his contemporaries and every generation to children sitting in marketplaces, playing tunes, wanting us to dance. First, sitting. They don't want to move. They don't want to change. They want to stay right where they are. Marketplaces, sign of consumerism. I'm going to order everything according to my preferences, my likes and my dislikes. If I want to play a jitterbug, you're going to dance fast. If I want to play a dirge, I want to see your tear ducts working. It's the exact opposite of what's supposed to happen in faith, where the Lord is the one who's playing the tune, and we're called to align our life to him rather than try to squeeze him in to our preferences. We're living in an age in which consumerism has deeply impacted the Church. People shop around for parishes that fit their own tastes. People judge the things of faith, not on the basis of what God himself is doing, but on the basis of whether it goes according to their preferences. Some people like the ordinary form. Some people like the extraordinary form. Somebody like priest A, B, C, D. People like bishop F, G, or H. People like pope X, Y, and Z. People like this music, but not that music. People like that Eucharistic prayer instead of the other. People like those psalm tunes rather than the others. So often this consumerism creeps into our faith. Likewise, with regard to Advent, we like to do it our way. We've done it that way before. We remain seated sometimes and just run off the fumes. And when John the Baptist comes and he says, "This year again, you got to take out the backhoe and the bulldozer, start making straight the paths," we are inert. When Jesus comes and he says, "Follow me in this direction, I want you to forgive that person, I want you to change your behavior in that direction," we resist. That's why the Church gives us this. Marketplaces are consumerism. And then ultimately that tune. We're always in the faith meant to hear the Lord's tune, the lyrics that he whispers to us, the melody that he gives, and adjust our life in that direction, not to set the tone for our relationship with Jesus. And we often do that. We want to play a soft, sentimental tune and have Jesus touch our feelings. We want to play a march and have Jesus shift everyone around us into shape. We want to play heavy metal and drown out what Jesus is whispering. We want to play our mood rather than let the Lord transform us. And so that's why Jesus comes to us and says, okay, John the Baptist came, however you responded, I'm coming. Do you accept me on my terms, or you're trying to fit me into your category so that you can classify and conquer? That's why every Advent is so important. That's why the second and third weeks are a real test to see whether we're getting up and heeding what the Spirit is, or whether we're fundamentally staying the same. Today's first reading, Isaiah 4, God tells us, I, the Lord your God, teach you what is for your own good and lead you on the way that you should go. A lot of the times, like St. Peter, we prefer to lead Christ rather than follow him. We want to tell him, God forbid it, Lord, no such thing will ever happen to you or to me or to anybody else. Despite what Jesus is saying, the Lord comes to teach. As we've heard from Isaiah a few days ago, on Saturday, we will see our teacher and to lead us on the way we should go, as the Good Shepherd calling us by name, leading us, not necessarily where we want to go, kind of like dogs pulling their owner over toward the side of the sidewalk, but he, as the Good Shepherd, wants to lead us freely to follow him, even through the dark valleys, to where he wants to give us repose. We have two great examples today of those who have aligned themselves to the Lord, to his music, to following his lead, and walking as we prayed in this responsorial psalm in the light of life. First is St. Lucy. From her earliest days, she heard a love song being played by God and responded in a very heroic way by consecrating her virginity to the Lord. Her mother Eutychia had already arranged a marriage for her, and she was going to play by the Lord's tune, not by the romantic ballads of the day. Her spurned suitor recognized, when he had heard that she had made a vow of virginity, that she had to be a Christian, and so denounced her during the Diocletian persecution to the local prefect, who sentenced her to death. St. Ambrose said, and I love to repeat it, that virginity is praiseworthy not because it's found in the virgin martyrs, but because it made the virgin martyrs. Their capacity to love the Lord every day, to give up other things and choose him, to live by that love song, don't go deaf when persecution begins, but because of that, listening every day and loving, they're able to remain faithful even in the supreme hour. Her name, Lucy, comes from the Latin lux, lucis, light. And she is one who, because she followed the Lord, had the light of life. And those with eye problems, those who have difficulty seeing, especially those who struggle with blindness, St. Lucy is that great intercessor, not only for physical light, but for spiritual. Today she's put forward before us as somebody who got up from the marketplace and followed the Lord. Second witness that we have today is the Holy Father, Pope Francis, who 50 years ago today in the chapel of the Colegio Mayor in Buenos Aires was ordained by Archbishop Castellano, a priest forever. We know his vocation story. He was marching to the tune of a future chemist. But one day, September 21st, 1953, when he was 16, he went to the Basilica of San Jose in that section of Buenos Aires called Flores, just to pray for a few minutes before he would go on a picnic on a national holiday. He saw Father Carlos Duarte Ibarra, who he didn't know at the time, walking around in a cassock. Ibarra was there for treatment for cancer. And he just spontaneously asked, Father, would you be able to hear my confession? And Ibarra said yes. He went into the confessional. 5 minutes later, young Jorge Bergoglio left, not with his plans for the day changed, but the plans for his life. There he recognized that the Lord had always been waiting for him. He'd been waiting his entire life for him in that confessional. He'd experienced the Lord's mercy so deeply that having been mercified, as he said, he felt himself chosen to be an instrument of that mercy thereafter. That's when he heard his priestly vocation. He heard the Lord's voice speaking to him and followed the Lord, aligning himself to that great hymn from the Psalms, Misericordias Domine Cantabo, I will sing the mercies of the Lord. Prior to his priestly ordination, 50 years ago, as priests must, they do a retreat. He did a typical Jesuit 8-day retreat. And during that retreat, he wrote a personal credo that he's kept his entire priesthood. That credo teaches us about how he seeks to align his entire life in faith to God and walks in his light. I want to believe in God the Father, who loves me like a child, he begins, and in Jesus Christ, the Lord who infused my life with the Spirit to make me smile and lead me to the eternal kingdom of life. I believe in the church. I believe in my life story, which was pierced by God's loving gaze when that spring day on 21st September came out to meet me, to invite me to follow him. I believe in my pain, made fruitless by the egotism in which I take refuge. I believe in the stinginess of my soul, which seeks to take without giving. I believe in others' goodness, that I must love them without fear and without betraying them, never seeking my own security. I believe in the religious life. I believe I wish to love a lot. I believe in the burning death of each day from which I flee, but which smiles at me, inviting me to accept her. I believe in God's patience, as good and as welcoming as a summer's night. I believe that Dad is with the Lord in heaven. I believe that Father Duarte Ibarra is there too, interceding for my priesthood. I believe in Mary, my mother, who loves me and will never leave me alone. And I believe in the surprise of each day, in which will be manifest love, strength, betrayal, and sin, which will always be with me until that definitive encounter with that marvelous face that I do not know, which always escapes me, but which I wish to know and love. Amen. Personal credo, believing that the Lord was speaking to him, and a desire and faith to align everything to that voice. Today on the Feast of St. Lucy, as the Lord comes to meet us, he summons us to be transformed by him so that we might walk with the light, the looks, a faith, credo, all the way until we too see that marvelous face which we wish to know and love.